This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 22nd, episode 833, brought to you by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done. Downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
They call Wednesday hump day. Innocuous jibber jabber.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the show on this fine Wednesday morning. Now, the people in the Northeast probably are not saying the same thing, and we're, of course, in another frigid ice flow heading down from Canada and foot of snow all over the Northeast, and we're thinking about all of you that have to shovel. Jennifer and I will be joining you in Philadelphia this weekend. We're going to see snow for our 3 days of snow that we do every year, and then we can come back to sunny, cold Florida. It's been chilly here too, but so we get our three days of snow.
Thing.
I know. I do feel bad for all the people in the Northeast that have to deal with the blizzard that they had yesterday.
I know. I love being on Facebook because it kind of touches on the rest of the world, and it gives you a little reality check when you live in a place like Florida or Phoenix, Arizona, to watch people turn their horses out in the snow and for just about, I don't know, less than 30 seconds, I'm like, oh, I really miss. No, I don't. But for just that like split second, I do. And then I go back to like, let's think about the real world, but maybe I just need like 3 days in a snowy location and then I'll be fine.
You know, when we get there and you arrive and you see all the snow and you fly in and then you enjoy it for the first day or two, and then by the third or fourth day you're ready to go home. So it's about right. It's supposed to be 0 degrees and, you know, highs of 15. So I that'll be enough. That'll be enough. We have to dig out and find our winter coats. Because, you know, when you live in climates like you and I do, the winter coats really get put to the back of the closet or, you know, underneath
you
the bed.
Be quiet. You are peeing people off right now.
I know.
People are getting very mad at you. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's It Feels Like Friday Wednesday edition, the wheel takes its final spin today, making way for a new improved fantastic game to take its place on Wednesday mornings. And next up, Victoria Spicer spices it up with some royal baby news, comebacks from carriage crashes, and racing polo players. And rounding out our hump day, the Horse Health Report plays it safe with more talk about hay and weeds. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. And of course, if you want to call and play the last of the wheel today, by the way, we've been doing this. We looked this morning. We've been doing this for a year. It was the beginning of February a year ago. Doesn't seem like a year we've been doing the wheel, but we have. So it was time to trade it in for a new game, which will start in 2 weeks. We'll be making that announcement. I think it's very exciting and everybody will like it. But today, if you want to call, it's 347-637-3238. We'll try and get as many people on to play today as we can. And we have a lot of fantastic prizes, as well as I'm going to make some offers today. So you'll have to see what that's all.
Oh, boy.
Yep. To see what that's like. My Daily Winnie goes out to Peter and Mary Gregory, who are both in their 80s. They run a farm in Florida called Mill Creek Farm. And this is a retirement home. And I think we may have mentioned them a long time ago. They have a retirement home for ex-military or police horses, horses that have had service jobs of some sort. They have 130 horses on their 325 acres. They were originally from England, and Peter was a hotel guy. And in 1984, they bought the farm about 20 miles north of Gainesville, just north of us. And they started a nonprofit organization called Retirement Home for Horses. And they do a tremendous job there. The horses are all fat and happy. They have 130 horses, as I said, that are retired. They do not take horses that are donated by private people, you know, that just want to get the horse out of the house. They don't do that. They are strictly for retired police horses or military horses of some sort. And they get this, Jamie, they estimate they spend more than $250,000 a year to operate the farm and feed all of the horses. Some of that comes from donations, and the other chunk is from Gregory's retirement fund. So God bless them. And they say the horses are never ridden after they come there. This is retirement. This is hangout. They go out every morning and evening on their golf cart with pulling their little wagon to feed all the horses and give them grain and hay and carrots. And they have a plan that when he and his wife dies, the farm will remain a nonprofit organization to help horses. The land is protected by a perpetual conservation easement that prevents the property from ever being developed. So they're actually looking for a caretaker now to take over operations because they're in their mid-80s. So they're looking for somebody to help take over and run the farm at this point.
Wow. What a cool couple. I wish we could get them on the radio show. Wish we could get to talk to them.
I'll try. I'll see if I can get a hold of them. And we'll see if we can
That's
get them
awesome.
For a chat. But what neat people doing something really good in their retirement.
Yeah. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to two of our friends of the show. One, Union Rags. His first foal, these are friends of our show.
Was
reported January 19th at Dixiana Farm in central Kentucky. The foal is out of, it's a colt, out of multiple stakes winner Gleaming, who is owned by Dixiana Farm. So congratulations to Union Rags. He's now officially a baby daddy. And then I found this story over the weekend and finally was able to do it. And really, are you excited? Because guess what? Sprinkle had a baby too. And I love it. I read the Daily Mail. And I don't read the Daily Mail, but this is where I found the story. And I love the fact that congratulations, Lane Nunn, birth of Union Rags, first foal. This is how they put it in the Daily Mail for Frankel's first baby. It's the equine equivalent of that picture of a royal baby. It's the first pictures of a foal by the all-conquering Frankel. The Bay Philly was foaled by the mare Song, who is a foal sister to Group 1 winners yesterday in Quarter Moon at the National Stud in Newmarket on Sunday morning. She's already showing her paces. She is a filly of nice quality and very athletic. It's the equine equivalent of the picture of a royal baby. That's so cool. It's a horse.
Of course, the Daily Mail out of England.
Of course.
Yes.
I love the Daily Mail.
Me too.
It gives you
the best stories.
Worst awesome stories. They're worse than National Enquirer, but I love it.
Hey, if I was doing one of these shows every morning about non-horse stuff, I'd just go down through the Daily Mail. You could just do a whole show through the Daily Mail.
That's what I did when I did that.
Oh, really?
Radio show, Glenn. That's why I love the Daily Mail.
Yeah, they have all the celebrity stuff's on there. All the stupid stories that you never hear anywhere else are on there. It's perfect. It's beautiful.
Yeah. And they show boobies, too. Like, they're like, no big deal. Here you go. Here's Britney Spears, topless.
The other
right on the front page.
Jennifer doesn't know that's why I read the Daily Mail.
Oh, sorry, dude.
Quiet there, girl. All right, we got a lot of people lined up already to take their last shots. A lot of regulars here that want to get one more shot in on the wheel. So you want to get started right away?
Let's do it.
All right.
Thank you.
for the EquityMSG.com Wheel of Trivia, where every week, unsuspecting horse enthusiasts call the show with illusions of trivia grandmaster dancing in their heads, willing to risk all for their chance to spin the wheel and possibly win some fantastic prize. Or answer incorrectly and have torn away every ounce of equestrian street cred they have, like an old bell boot.
All right, let's do this. Let's talk about how it's going to work today. Today, you will play like you did any other day. We'll have three categories for you to choose from, which Jamie will tell you about in just a minute. You have 5 seconds to answer the question correctly. Today, though, before I spin the wheel, I'm going to offer you some options on prizes you can choose before I spin the wheel. So it's going to be a little different today. Yeah, we're adding a twist to it. The first one lined up here today just wrote on our Facebook page, yay, just got inside after 2 hours, shoveled to the barn, shoveled to the chicken coop, cleared the driveway and barn work. Phew. But the important thing is I'm in time for the wheel. And that's Colleen. Good morning, Colleen.
Good morning, Glenn.
How much snow in Pennsylvania?
Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning. I was wondering, yeah, I don't know if he's saying your name right yet. I mean, he's kind of saying Colleen, but it's Colleen. And Glenn, for the last wheel of trivia, just say her name correctly right now.
It's Colleen.
Colleen. Colleen. Not Colleen. Not Hoof. It's Hoof and Colleen. Okay, I'm done. I'm done trying to help you, Colleen. I'm so sorry.
How much snow, Colleen, in Pennsylvania?
Yep, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, how much snow did you get?
Says it.
I think we got about a foot.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, my God.
Enjoy your trip, Glenn. Dust off that winter coat.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, you know how this works. We've got some categories. You get to pick a category and then answer the question. You get it right, we spin the wheel for a prize. You get it wrong, then, well, you don't get to call back next week because this is the last one of these, but we will be playing other games. So those of you who don't get it right, you will be able to try to play again, just some other way. So the categories, Colleen, are puzzling parts, disciplinary action, horsey headlines, okay? So what are you feeling like today?
I don't know. Disciplinary sounds kind of scary, so I'm going to go with
She had too much of that in high school.
Yeah, you know what? When I was looking at that category, it made me nervous. Jennifer, if you're typing, you got to stop. Okay, here we go. Horsey headlines. You should get this. You listen to our show, right?
I've been on and off the past couple days. I've been really busy at work, and I've been like, so.
No excuse. Okay. Well, who won the Eclipse Award for Horse of the Year this past weekend?
Oh, wait a minute. I know this.
You gotta know this. 5 seconds.
No Googling.
Oh, was it? I know it wasn't Mucho Macho Man. What? It was.
Were you gonna say something?
Oh, who, me?
Yeah. Were you gonna say? Were you gonna throw a guess in there before the buzzer rang?
Oh,
she doesn't have.
She doesn't.
I thought it began with an.
Begins with the what?
I thought.
You have 26 options.
Yeah. Colleen, I'm so sorry. We've talked about this repeatedly. I love this horse. We had an argument about who was going to win, and it was officially
I thought you guys wanted Mucho Macho Man to win.
But he didn't.
But I didn't think I heard who won.
No, he didn't.
It wasn't Dan, was it?
Yeah, it was.
I thought it was D, and I'm like thinking, was it Dan? But I forgot the wise part. Oh, darn it. Okay, well, I'll have to call in for the new game.
Yes, you will. Keep your ears open. We're going to be announcing that next week, what we're going to be doing. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay.
All right.
That's going to be exciting.
Colleen, I'm sorry. Glenn really tried to cheat for you, so I'm sorry about that.
I tried my best.
Okay, thank you, guys.
All right. Hey, we'll see you this weekend. We'll be up there. We'll wave, okay?
Alrighty.
All right. Bye bye.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye, Colleen.
Looks like we're going.
Oh, bummer.
Go ahead.
Okay. Right.
We're going to the opposite end. We're going to your area. We're going to Arizona with Sarah.
Sarah, good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
How are you?
Good. Warm.
Yeah, Arizona. Gotta love it. You know what, though? We do have another person on hold that's in northern Arizona. So are you the lucky one that lives in southern Arizona and Phoenix area?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, we're enjoying life. All right, Sarah, what category do you think you can conquer today? Have you won with us yet?
I think twice.
Twice, but I don't remember. It's been a while since you called in. So we have a whole bunch of new prizes and a whole bunch of new categories to stump you. We've got puzzling parts, disciplinary action, horsey headlines.
Well, I'm not very good with headlines. So I'll try the parts category.
Puzzling parts. Here we go. Let's go with this one. The girth. This is multiple choice, okay? Remember, you have 5 seconds after I ask a question, even though Glenn tries to cheat for everybody and give you more time. You have 5 seconds, and you're on multiple choice. So wait till I finish asking the question. Gosh, I sound like I'm like an old game show host.
You do. You sound like a principal in a high school.
It's kind of scary. Sorry, you guys. I need a drink. The girth applies pressure to which of the following? The A, ulna, B, sternum, or C, patella?
5 seconds.
The sternum.
Yay! Good job.
Yay!
You win that one.
You got it right.
You got it right.
It does not apply pressure to the patella, which is up in the stifle area, or the ulna, which is part of the lower leg. So you did good. You got it.
All right. So this is what we're going to do today. You have a choice, Sarah. And I know it's early in the morning and you have to think early in the morning. And that's not easy. So here you go. Here's your choice. We will give you the option before I spin the wheel. Okay. You can choose, instead of me spinning the wheel and it's totally random what you win, you can choose, because this is the last week, so I'm really trying to clean out my closet. You can choose the really big box of crap out of my closet. Okay. So this is not just a box of crap. This is a really big box of crap. So that's everything I've got left in my closet, all the samples, all the stuff I've got left in my closet, I will ship out to you. Or you can choose a Horse Radio Network saddle pad, or I can spin the wheel.
Keep in mind, the wheel can have a roll of duct tape.
Yeah, the wheel can have some crappy prizes on it. So you're taking a risk.
That's true. I mean, who doesn't need a roll of duct tape?
That's pretty good, sir.
I think I will go with the saddle pad.
Oh, really? Oh, good. Well, that's terrific.
Yeah, don't do it. Come on, Sarah. You're better than that. Spin the freaking wheel. Go for it.
Okay, I'll spin the wheel.
Oh, she talked you right out of that.
One last time.
All right. Here we go.
She wasn't told.
I hope you win something good. It'd be a crappy prize.
You better give some.
Let's see where the wheel lands. Oh, well, that's not too bad. You win a big bag of Equine Enjoy Yums horse treats. So do you have a horse?
I do. I have three.
Oh, well, then you're going to be in good shape, because Enjoy Yums are made out of simple, pure foods that horses have been thriving on for centuries. Oats and human-grade rice bran have a naturally nuttiness, and horses absolutely love them. So there's many different kinds and flavors of their horse treats. You just open them up, you know, and your horses will attack you. And you can find all of their products at alittlepetvet.com. So that's a $25 value coming out your way. So this way, see, the saddle pad would have kind of been for your enjoyment. Now your horses can get enjoyment, which is better anyway.
That's true. And I always give them treats.
There you go. Well, we'll ship you out a bag of them. Thank you, Sarah. Hold on.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Sarah. You're not going to sell anybody on all the crap in your closet by saying it's a big box of crap.
Lindsay from Indiana. Lindsay from Indiana. I will give you the box of crap right now. Right now, Lindsay from Indiana. You don't even have to play the game.
Oh, where's the fun in that?
Nobody wants my box
of crap. See, nobody wants your crap. You guys, it's a big box of awesome prizes.
I'm all for the box of crap thing. I just enjoy the
All right,
game
now
too.
You blew it. You have to actually get the question correct. So
sounds good.
Huh. Lindsay, we can do this, girl. We can do this. We don't need his help. We are his crap.
Well, hopefully it's as easy as the first two, because I would have gotten both of them.
Okay. Well, then we'll see how you do then. Lindsay, you're in Indiana. How much snow do you have on the ground right now?
Currently it's mostly melting off, but it was minus two with the wind chill coming into work.
Oh, great.
Good Lord. Indiana. I'm sorry, girl. That stinks. I know we've been over this. You live up there for a reason. I get it. But, you know how I feel about the whole thing. Come on over to the West. Come on over to Phoenix. All right.
I'm originally from Idaho.
Oh, so it's better where you are.
Actually, it's colder here than it was there.
Really? Wow.
I don't know. I just remember flying into Idaho once, and there was like 6 feet of snow on the side of the road because they plowed it. Anyway, doesn't matter. It's cold anywhere you've lived. The categories are puzzling parts, disciplinary action, or horsey headlines. Which one would you like?
I'll go for horsey headlines.
Oh, girl, you got this. If you knew the wise damn thing, you got this one. And I'm so disappointed that she didn't know Wise Dan. I mean, that's like my boyfriend. Okay?
I know.
All right.
I lost track of the number of times you talked about it that day.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I know. Must have missed that show. See, that's what you guys get for missing a show. All right. Who won the 2014 Sunshine Millions Classic by 14 lengths?
I think that would be the show favorite, Mucho Macho Man.
Yay! You did do it.
Yay! That was a piece of cake, girl. Good job.
That was too easy. That was too easy. That was a simple one. But so now we're back to where we were before. You have a choice. See, you just went through all this hassle and you have the same choice. So now you can choose to have my big box of crap out of my closet so it's gone from here. You can choose a Horse Radio Network saddle pad or I will spin the wheel.
You know what? I feel like taking a risk today. I'll go for the box.
Oh, you're going to take the box of crap?
I'll take it.
Yay! I love her. Lindsay from Indiana is my favorite. Box of crap. It's out of here.
It is pretty cool stuff, you know, to be honest. It's all at books. And I mean, I don't know, but I've seen this stuff before.
How do you know?
Samples, treats, books. Pretty cool stuff.
And you know what?
Because one of my...
If we wait until we get back from, which we probably will, till we get to the post office, if we wait till we get back from Ada, we'll probably have a whole bunch more samples to throw in the box of crap from the show this weekend. So,
yep.
There you go. That sounds amazing.
So I'll wait. I'll definitely wait, Lindsay, and then we'll ship it out to you next week.
Sounds great.
All right. Thanks, Lindsay. Hold on. All right. Who else we got here? We have Ruby for one last time in Arizona.
Ruby, hello.
Hello.
Are you up for school yet?
No, I'm not. I'm supposed to be now. I got some math to finish up. But I got up and I couldn't find my warm pajama bottom, so I was like, I'm going back to bed.
She's under the covers. Here we go then. I'm trying to get everybody in here because it's our last time.
Trying to get everybody.
All right. Puzzling parts. Disciplinary action or horsey headlines?
I want to try the disciplinary action, but the horsey headline seems pretty easy so far. So I think I'll go with the horsey headlines.
See, I don't even know this one. This one's hard, Glenn. Okay. I don't know. Oh, see, sorry. okay, we've covered this story. If you listen to the show on Monday, the estate. Okay, good. The estate, and remember, this is multiple choice. The estate of railroad magnate, I guess how you say that, Hunter Harrison just went on the market for $55 million, What state is it located in? Is it A, Rhode Island, B, Connecticut, or C, Arizona?
Arizona. Rhode Island.
Oh. So close.
No.
So
it was
close.
Connecticut. That's where all the rich folk live. Connecticut.
Wasn't it near Hartford? If I remember right, it was near Hartford.
Yeah.
I thought I heard Rhode Island. Oh, well.
You were close. It was right next door.
Yeah, I need to listen more closely.
Well, Ruby, thank you so much for calling in, and keep your ear out for the next game. We're going to be announcing it next week, okay?
Wow, I can't wait to try that. Maybe it'd be slightly easier.
No, I'm not sure about that.
She hasn't won in forever, Glenn. Send her a prize. She hasn't won anything in forever. Poor thing.
I thought you won a couple weeks ago. Didn't
you? I totally didn't win something in my like last couple times.
Yeah.
We'll ship Ruby. We will ship Ruby something.
I got a box to craft the last time.
Lindsay just took the box of crap, so I can't send you one of those. There's no more crap left. Thank you.
The last time I called, I think I got a box of crap.
Do you have one of our saddle pads, Ruby?
No, I do not.
Well, do you do now?
There you go. Yay.
All right. Hold on, Ruby. Well, next up, Happy Barbie in New Jersey. I want to find out how much snow you got. But next up is actually somebody that we want to talk to this morning, because we have to hear the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. And that's Michael with the Morgans in Virginia.
Good morning.
So last we talked to you, I believe you were arranging shipping for one of your new horses. Did you get your new pony?
Well, everything was great, and then we got a snowstorm.
No, you didn't get it.
I'm under about 6 inches of snow right now, and he was supposed to be here yesterday.
Oh, no. Where is he stuck?
No, so where is he?
He's in State College, Pennsylvania.
Ugh.
And they've had even more snow.
Wait, is that where he lives, or is that like a layover point?
No, that's where he's trained and where he lives.
Okay, so he's not like at some shipping place where they're like holding on to him. So that's good.
No,
so at least he's
home. Comfortable.
Okay, good. Well, yes, exactly. Good point. So maybe you'll get him by April or May. So good luck with that. I can't imagine having bought a horse and like sitting. I'd be chomping at the bit waiting to get him.
Oh my God. I've ridden so many checks. And I've got saddles and bridles and everything in my living room.
Oh, no.
His stall's all decked out, waiting.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm so sorry. Well,
thank you for remembering, and I'll have to update you soon.
Please do, and we want pictures as soon as you get him. We want pictures of him getting off that big old trailer, okay?
Yep, sounds good.
All right, what category would you like? Puzzling parts, disciplinary action, or horsey headlines?
I'm going to take a chance with puzzling parts.
Puzzling parts. Okay, here we go. This is multiple choice, all right? So you just wait for the whole answer. There are three types of joints. Synovial, cartilaginous, so basically cartilaginous, and what? A, flexor, B, compound, or C, fibrous?
B.
So close. Yeah, it wasn't compound.
It's fibrous. Fibrous. Okay. And again, all these questions are created by Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. If you're unhappy about them,
hey, I got it. Michael, before you go, though, you're getting a brand new horse. Do you have one of our Horse Radio Network saddle pads yet?
I don't, but I'd love one.
Yes. What could you ride English or Western? Or what do you ride?
English.
Well, then you're getting a Horse Radio Network saddle pad for your brand new horse. Congratulations, if you ever get it.
Oh, thanks, guys. Thanks so much.
You'll probably get the saddle pad before the horse, but you can add it.
I know.
Thank you, guys.
All right, hold on, Michael.
Your wife is going to kill you for giving away all these things.
I know.
You're in big trouble.
Happy Barbie.
It's awesome.
Happy Barbie.
Good morning. I was telling Jennifer, I think I'm the only happy in New Jersey right now. I have a horse that's a gypsy. So this is his weather. He's dressed like a goat, like a long-haired goat. So he loves the winter. He's like kind of useless in the summer. So to me, it's okay. So I'm happy. And
you guys got it. Like,
I called in.
You got like a foot of snow, didn't you, yesterday?
No. We got too much, but we got like six. Every day it's crazy. It's like one day it's raining, the next day it's cloudy, and the next day it snows. Wow, we're on like this crazy January roller coaster. So yeah, but no, I'm having a ball, and the reason why I'm having a ball, and that's why I wanted to call in, is because I got the app from Equisketch, and I'm not an app girl. I'm not a phone girl. I make phone calls. I don't even know how to use the computer on my phone. So like, oh, this app, what's the app? So like, I'm going to use this app January 1st, and I'm going to make a commitment to start riding horses more. But I started in like December, so I opened up the app, and I'm not kidding. I've been riding every day because of this app, because I got to make my commitment because of the app. So if you guys, and I think Glenn said it's less than 2 cups of coffee, it's the best 2 cups of coffee that you ever gave up to get this Equisketch app. It has a funny spelling. You want to say it, Glenn?
Yep, it's Equisketch, and it's Sketch. Equisketch.
Yeah.
Yep.
Equisketch. All right. And yeah, it's totally awesome. And actually, I'm getting my horse ready to ride right now because I'm so spoiled. I have an indoor arena. It's crazy. You know,
All right, well, let's play.
We're jealous. We got to get to the game because we're running out of time.
But
I'm glad. Thank you for doing the commercial. Okay. Puzzling parts, disciplinary action, or horsey headlines?
I'm going to go with puzzling parts because it seems like it's multiple choice.
Okay, good. Because I'm out of horsey headlines. I just realized there are no more in that category. All right. The final one in puzzling parts is this puzzling part joins the sole to the inner wall of the hoof. What is that called? And it's not multiple choice.
The sole to the inner wall of the vicar bone?
The sole of the hoof.
Crud.
it's the white line. The sole of the
part. Yeah, I just like rides.
You didn't even listen.
Gypsy still have those. All right, thank you, Barbie.
Thank
we have
you
to
for
run.
Having me. I love the game.
All right, take care.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
All right, I'm afraid that's all we have time for because we have Victoria hanging on here. So we have to talk about Equity, though, before we go. They've been a terrific sponsor, and I have good news. You know, they've been a sponsor of the Wheel of Trivia almost since we started, and he has now committed to another year of sponsoring the game we do on Wednesday morning. So we want to thank Joseph and the whole gang over there at EquityMFG.com, the best manure forks in the whole world, the Flex and Fork and the Shake and Fork. You know, we have a lot of our listeners, Jamie, that already have the Flex and Fork, it is time now to graduate. That's like elementary school. It is time now to graduate to high school. And, you know, instead of getting a cap that you can just flip the little thing, you're going to get the motorized Shake and Fork. And, you know, you clean stalls, you do all that work, you have to do all that shaking and all that effort, you're wasting a lot of bedding, you're wasting a lot of time. Why do all of that when you can get the Shake and Fork? Yes, it's not cheap. I understand that. But you will never regret spending the $200 to buy this fork. You will thank me every day you use it in your barn and every day you clean your stalls with it. And you're going to make up for the cost of this thing in bedding in a couple of months anyway. So if you clean more than 2-3 stalls a day, take a look at graduating from the Flex and Fork, which you absolutely love anyway, to the Shake and Fork. It's time to wear your grown-up pants. EquityMFG.com. Was that a good one? Did I do that good?
Who's laughing?
Jennifer.
Who was that, Jennifer?
Apparently Jennifer liked it. Time to wear your grown-up pants. Graduate high school. Now, now we go to Victoria and she's gone.
Yes. So I think Victoria is going to hopefully call back. I don't know who the 201 number is. But since everybody who was on hold dropped off and they're not listening to our show anymore, Robin is still on hold and is still listening. I think we should play with Robin. What do you
think? Okay, yeah, why not? Victoria's not here.
So Robin, are you there? Hey! I figured you're the only one who didn't drop off the line. So all of those people that were on hold just waiting to play the game and not listening to our show, they all hung up. So since you're still here and we lost Victoria, we're going to play the game with you. How about that?
I was hanging on just in case you got another grocery delivery.
Nice. No, see, she's a listener. All right. I only have one category left. And I only have, let's see, two questions in that category left. So here's your category. Disciplinary action.
Okay. Disciplinary action.
Good. I'm glad you wanted that one. Woohoo. This is great. According to, I don't know, are you an English writer?
Yeah, used to be.
Okay, according to, I didn't know this one, and Victoria's on hold now, so I want to know if she knew this one, too.
Okay, well, let me take Victoria off of hold. Hi, Victoria.
Okay.
Hi.
Hold on 1 second.
Hello. Okay, let's see if you know this one, too. How about you guys can play together? Victoria, you can help Robin answer this question.
No question.
According to USDF rules, that's United States Dressage Federation, if a reader calls out a movement twice or repeats himself, the competitor is assessed what penalty? Is it A, a zero on that movement, B, -2 in collective marks, or C, elimination?
Oh, do you know, Victoria?
In British dressage rules, I would say it would be -2 marks, which is what you'd get for an error, of course. So
that's what I was leaning towards too.
And that's what I was leaning towards.
You're both wrong.
You're both wrong. And I would have guessed that too. And I'm shocked to know this. And I can't believe it. This is not a way I've eliminated yet. It's elimination.
Elimination. Well, I wasn't sure because I never rode just dressage. I did eventing dressage, so I wasn't sure.
And that's not real dressage. Like so, yeah.
You're right. I can't believe I've done dressage shows, and I can't believe I've never been eliminated before on that. Just be like, what? What'd you say?
Well, elimination was the other one that I was going to guess.
Mm-hmm. Sure it was. Whatever.
You even got help from England, and it didn't help you on this one. It's just...
Clearly, I feel English people are nicer.
It's Jennifer's fault, because she made the question, and she didn't specify whether it was the United States or in England.
You're right.
All right. Fault. Well, wait. Before we go on to Victoria, I got a question. We'll ask you one of the kids' questions. Are you ready? This is one of the kids' questions that we reserve for 8 to 12-year-olds, okay?
Okay.
What is the white marking between a horse's nostrils called?
A snit is what we would call it.
Very good. Good job. No prize. Good job.
Spin the wheel!
All right. Thank you, Robin. Hold on. Or you don't have to hold on, but thank you. All right. Let me play the official music for Victoria.
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
Victoria, there's something I want to talk to you about, and it has nothing to do with you, but I've noticed something, and Glenn, you're going to be with, I don't know if you're going to be with me on this or not. Do you guys watch tennis, tennis?
Yes.
I do. Yes.
Okay. So you know who Roger Federer is, right?
He beat my number one favorite tennis player, Andy Murray, this morning. So I'm very upset.
Oh, no. And I'll tell all the listeners, if you don't know who he is, you do know who he is, because I am 100% sure that Roger Federer and Philip Dutton are the same person. They're the exact same person. Have you ever seen them in a room together?
I haven't, and I'm trying to think what Philip Dutton looks like to see if I think he does look like Federer or not.
They're the same person. Yeah, they do, because they're exactly the same person. I'm pretty sure I've got it going on. I'm going to put a comparison on Facebook, but I'm pretty sure they're the same person. And I do love Roger Federer, and I'm sorry that Andy Murray lost, but I'm happy that Roger Federer won. Philip Dutton won this morning. I don't know how he's able to compete at such a high level in eventing and be an awesome tennis pro at the same time, but I'm just telling you.
I can tell you which one he makes more money in.
hey,
did you guys watch the match over the weekend with Serena Williams?
No, I didn't. I missed her match.
You missed it because it was one of the only female matches ever that there was no grunting at all.
Oh, maybe you'd sat on the mute button on your remote control by mistake.
I must have. Because...
It doesn't seem possible, does it?
I just looked up Philip Dutton, who I have never actually looked at without a riding hat and body protector on. And it isn't him, not me. And he does look quite like Roger Federer. There's a picture of him on Google when he's wearing his red show jumping jacket. And there's definitely a bit of Federer going on there.
They're the same person. It's not a bit. It's the same guy. And again, I think it's very impressive that he was able to play in a tennis tournament and compete in horse trials over the weekend in the United States. I mean, the guy's amazing.
And he eats lots of Swiss chocolates, as the adverts would have us believe.
Kind of shocking how much they look alike. Okay. What's going on in Horse and Country TV? It's the same.
I'm not sure if it is the same guy. Well, did you hear the news about Zara Phillips having her first baby?
Yes, I'm so excited. Congratulations. I love it because I was telling everybody, all of our listeners, that my little boy finally has his future wife, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be an arranged marriage.
Arranged just by you, not by Zara.
Thanks for pointing that out. That wasn't obvious.
Wait a minute. Let me ask, who pays the dowry again, the large dowry? Is that paid by the mother of the girl or the boy?
The girl. So it'll be all right.
Oh, that'd be all right then. Yeah.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah. I would say that you should get paid in event horses.
There you go.
I would agree. I'll take it. Hey, now I also saw that Frankel had his first baby.
He did. He had a little colt foal arrived in Ireland on Saturday, who nobody has seen, but everybody's been talking about. And then a day or so later, a filly was born in Newmarket here in England. And this poor filly has had film crews and cameras following her around from the minute he was born. And she's quite like Frankel. So, hopefully she'll have a little modicum of his racing talent.
I think it's hysterical because I was reading on the Daily Mail that the people that had the first baby, the colt, wouldn't let anybody come take pictures or comment or anything. And then so everybody's had to go and see the filly.
Yes, indeed. They kept it quite private. They don't want kind of to say who owns them and what their name, like the mayor's names are, so that people don't find out too much information, which is all very secretive. But I'm just glad that somebody posted pictures. So it's just, she's so cute. I really want her. I want her to come and live with me. She can be my, my riding club horse.
And for the bargain price of about £4 million, she can be yours.
Exactly. All I need to do is win the lottery four times over and it'll be fine. I can buy a Frankel baby.
Good luck with that. Sounds like a plan. Love it. So what else is happening over there? I'm sorry, I keep interrupting your train of thought.
That's all right. So another news story that we've had on our website today is about a group of four polo players, including a Viscount. There's not enough Viscounts around, I think.
What is a Viscount, by the way?
Now you're going to make me explain the complicated British feudal system. But it's kind of like, you know, lords and ladies.
Like
and
a duke era.
And duchesses.
Yeah.
like it'll be like a son of a duke or something. I'm sure there's people listening cringing furiously that I've got that wrong, but yeah, it's fairly.
You know, a duke is a cool name, but a viscount sounds like you're cool and tough.
Exactly. Yeah. But slightly, yeah, negated over here because it's also a brand of chocolate biscuit, so less glamorous. I think that's when becoming a Viscount went out of fashion a little bit. But yeah, so this team of polo players have rode 3,000 miles across the Atlantic, and they finished second overall, and they won their division. So,
my God,
impressive.
I just looked at their picture. These are some
very glamorous.
These are some buff boys, let me tell you. Holy crap.
I've seen a certain rival equestrian publication posting pictures with them. It was topless, but I'm afraid we've just gone for the tight, like, the top picture. We didn't think we should have naked polo players all over our website. So apologies about that.
Yikes!
You mean they went all the way across they went in a seven foot boat?
Yes.
Four guys in a 7 foot boat?
Fell out. Yes, indeed. It's quite scary.
Oh my God.
Wow.
They hate each other now. They're ready to kill each other.
Well, they've all probably played polo in the same team for years and years, so they must be quite
That's
used to
different
each other.
Than being on a 7 foot boat.
Well, they probably all went to Harrow or Eton and stayed in a small dormitory, so that's almost the same. Just throw in some water and it's the same effect.
This is crazy. I can't even imagine. But you know what? They did it all for a charity. Is it the same in England where the polo players are all very wealthy?
Well, either very wealthy or... very kind of well-bred, like our Viscount there. And certainly all the people that have the team, which names I've completely forgotten, the patrons, here you go, they are the wealthy ones, and the players tend to live a little bit more hand-to-mouth, but it's certainly a smart sport over here.
Gotcha. So they can do that and lock themselves in a boat and then give all the money to charity. So that's cool. Very good.
Exactly. Oh, and you'll be relieved to know that I found out that Viscount is below a count or an earl and below a duke, but above a baron and a knight. So there you go. That's what a Viscount is.
There we go.
The only thing that made sense to me was the knight. Okay. So...
These guys could have been nice.
Quite slowly.
The way they look.
And yeah. If you marry a Viscount, you become a Viscountess, which I think sounds quite cool. I could be that. I could be a Viscountess.
Good luck with that.
I've got more chance of owning Franco, so. Never mind.
So cool. I want to live in England. I want to be English. So... Let's talk a little bit about the crash that happened. I was reading just a little bit about a blog of a guy that was in a British Driving Society show and he was in a crash or something with ponies.
Well, confusingly, Chris is a female, just to to confuse everybody. So it's a lady and she does scurry driving, which is when you tend to have quite small ponies, like 10, 12
pounds. It's so much fun.
And they go at speed. Around the course of cones. It's brilliant and really fun and fast to watch. And
I want to do that.
So they compete in summer. You should come over and give a go. I'm sure Chris
I think that'd be a
quite
blast.
Happy to take you in the back of the carriage. And they try and qualify all summer to go to Horse of the Year show. And she finally made it into the final and, you know, she had a chance to win and was galloping around and her cart turned upside down and she fell out and broke her hip in two places. So if you think driving is a safer alternative to riding, it's not necessarily the case. But yeah, she heard a nasty snap, but because the cameras were rolling and because there was all these people in the crowd, she was told to kind of smile and wave. So she had to kind of be stretchered out with a grin plastered on her face, trying not to look like she was about to pass out. So she's been hobbling all winter and now the doctors have said she can get back to driving, and I think he meant the car, but she's just taken it literally, so she's back out in her carriage again.
that Wendy, Wendy was at a show over the weekend, and we went over to watch for a little bit. And it was a CD. It was a driving event, and we went over for Marathon Day. And there were four wrecks that day. You know, driving can be dangerous. It's not all cushy, you know, people in top hat sport.
Well, that's why she's wearing the air vest in case she falls off a carriage. I mean, that's crazy. You know, you're in a dangerous sport. If you just ride on something, you got to tie yourself onto it. So that's pretty cool. So anything else we need to cover over on Horse and Country TV?
Well, we've got some great videos this week, including a new masterclass about self-carriage. So if you're a bit like me and find it all very bewildering and know what you're meant to be aiming for but don't quite understand how to get it, it's a great video with a dressage trainer just talking through how, you know, you should not come out and immediately expect a horse to show off elevation and how you can just gradually build up and ask for a little bit more. So it's a really handy little 3-minute clip. It's worth watching.
Awesome. Very good. And you can find that on horseandcountry.tv. I'm glad that we didn't get interrupted by your grocery delivery today, Victoria. So thank you for that.
I know. I did have a gardener popping around earlier to draw plans for the garden, which currently looks like a scrubland. So I was a bit worried that he was going to rock up this week instead. But no, no interruptions, I'm afraid.
Good Lord, I need a gardener and a grocery delivery. How do I live like you?
She's a Viscountess.
She's a Viscountess, so.
Yes.
Yeah. Us Viscountesses awesome. Always have gardeners.
And they're hot. All right, well, I'm posting pictures of Roger Federer and Philip Dutton side by side on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, Victoria, so you got to go check it out because, yes, they are the same freaking person. It's amazing.
Okay. Well, I shall look out for him and good luck to Federer and his tennis and eventing careers. I'll forgive him for beating Andy Murray. Although if Andy Murray then gives up tennis and takes up eventing, that would make me happy as well.
Maybe I'll do that. All right, bye. We'll talk to you next week.
Speak to you next week.
All right, bye.
Well, speaking of Wendy, co-host of the Driving Radio Show, she mentioned on a show recently about Back on Track products. And of course, our show today is brought to you by Back on Track products. We talk all the time about Back on Track products for their therapy benefits for horses and for dogs, but they have a complete line of human products as well. As a matter of fact, I think that's their biggest line is their human products. And Wendy, we were sitting there and Wendy was wearing a Back on Track product and I had a little chance to chat with her about that, so I want to play that for you right now. It's just
about a weekend minute. Warrior syndrome.
Yes,
Wendy Ying has personal experience. She's sitting here with a weight belt on right now.
It's not a weight belt. It's actually a Back on Track wrap.
Oh, it is a
that Randy
wrap?
And Keedy Cadwell gave me because
one of our
I was walking around
the Horse Radio Network.
It's my Back on Track wrap, which worked very, very well because I was with them when I had the back injury, and I think they couldn't stand listening to me
whine
and say, "Slow down, I can't take big steps." So they gave me a Back on Track wrap, which I love. I'm now a believer of the Back on Track. It really made a big difference.
The Back on Track products really work.
Mm-hmm.
We keep telling people, and they don't listen. They work.
That was Wendy from the Driving Radio Show. They have a whole bunch of different products for humans. They have ankle braces, socks, shoes, insoles, neck braces, all kinds of things. They have boxer shorts, which I think that a certain co-host of mine can attest to. Elbow and wrist braces, blankets. I know Jennifer uses one of their blankets for her shoulder at night. And they have all of the therapeutic properties that we've been talking about for so long in the equine side. They also had from the human side. So if you have those arthritis or those knee and joint problems that all horse people have, you might want to consider hopping on over to backontrackproducts.com and checking out the human line as well. Well, we have a song for you. I haven't heard it in a long time, and it's just a lot of fun. It's cowhand.com by Dan Roberts, and we'll be back. We have our horse health segment coming up after this.
Brand new ranch. It was owned by a bunch of fancy pants, but they did have several high dollar trucks and trailers. Well, there was barns and pens that was under construction, and I was informed by phone I'd received my instruction in a video arriving in a padded mailer. It said, sort the cows in pen 11, then bring us a tag so we can scan them. And I didn't have a clue, but I took a sack full of them to headquarters. There was a lady at a computer typing in numbers, and the more she typed, the more I felt dumber, and she said, yep, 501's too old. Gotta go back and sort her. I replied, I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. I don't know where I just landed, scrolling back to where I'm from, cause I don't need no printout telling me that it's time to wean. Never seen a calf pulled by a machine, and this information highway keeps my pony sore and lean. I ain't no cowhand.com. Well, my security pass / photo ID opened the gate and picked out a horse for me, and then punch in a code and it started an automatic feeder. Of course, you still had to step over what them cows were downloading, and you did hair analysis with a digital modem, and put a cow up on the screen, it'd tell you which bull's going to breed her. Well, then they give me this laptop from my saddlebags, and it got dusty out riding drag, and I knew the boss was going to have my hide. Well, they said, just boot it up, open the windows, something about a mouse and a bunch of menus, so I hauled off and kicked it. I kept the windows closed because it was freezing outside. I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. I don't know where I just landed, scrolling back to where I'm from, because I don't need no printout telling me which stall to clean. Never seen a horse shod by a machine. This information highway keeps my pony sore and lean. I ain't no cowhand.com. Well, then they start talking downsizing and linking up. I told them I was heading for the tall and the uncut. They could stick that Pentium right in their AOL. There's faxing emails and hazing the web, and they even had a megabyte RAM. That sounds inbred. I reckon those people wouldn't know the difference between a hard drive and a paper trail. I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. Don't need no information highway to get back to where I'm from. And I don't need no printout telling me which colt is green. Never seen a bronc broke by a machine. Besides, this little cell phone just don't fit good in my jeans. I ain't no cowhand.com. I ain't no http://, all one word, all little letters, www.cowhand.com. Yep, that's what you get when you try to cross one of them computers with a cowboy.
I love that song. That's cowhand.com by Dan Roberts. You can find all of his music over at oldbootsmusic.com. You're listening to Horses. Yeah, me too. I just love that song. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair today. We were brought to you today, as I said, by Back on Track Products at backontrackproducts.com. And we have a special guest coming up I wanted to mention on Friday before we get to our horse health segment. And we have Lisa Marie Kelly of Ice Road Truckers will be joining us on Friday morning. And we're going to be having a chat about her job, about living in Alaska, and also her horses. She has horses as well. So we're going to be having a chat with her. So you want to tune in and hear our celebrity on Friday morning. And now it is time for our horse health report.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
I love that opener. Well, we have today with us assistant professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, which sounds really cold. And his name is Dr. Mark Rentz. Good morning, Dr. Rentz.
Good morning. And you're right. It is very cold up here.
Did you get the snow that the Northeast got yesterday, or did you just have enough of your own to begin with?
We did not get the snow. We did not get the snow, but it was 4 degrees, and I'm not talking in Celsius. It was 4 degrees Fahrenheit this morning, so we're definitely in the deep chill.
And you had enough snow on the ground to begin with, didn't you?
That's right. Not a lot of outdoor activities that don't involve snowshoes or skis going on right now in Wisconsin.
The carriage maker who's making my carriage that I should be getting in the next week here is Fry Carriage Company, and they're out of Wisconsin, and they keep showing pictures of all the sleighs they're making right now and out on test runs in the snow. So that's the thing you should be doing in the snow as a sleigh. That's about it.
That's right. No, that would be a good thing to do.
Well, now there's something you don't have many of. Well, they're there. They're just underneath the snow. And I love it that Jennifer wrote here that you are a weed scientist. Do you call yourself a weed scientist?
I do. And it is kind of a unique position. And I get a lot of hassles.
I bet you do.
I think it's a really, you know, is appropriate. I'm interested in studying plants that aren't supposed to be there, and that's what a weed is, and trying to develop and educate people on how to manage those plants so they don't cause problems. You know, like for horses, toxic, poisonous plants is a big concern, and that's one of the things that we work on.
But before we get to the serious stuff, you're at a party and you say you're a weed scientist. I'm sure the question always comes up, right?
That's right. It does. Well, you know, so marijuana comes up, and I quickly just talk about that. And I always go back to the definition of what a weed is. It's a plant not growing where you want it to grow. And so the question I always go back to the individual is, do you consider marijuana a weed?
I know most people who grow it would not, then, in that case, if that's the definition.
That's right. And then we have several anecdotal stories. A lot of times we get called out by the DEA. We'll find cornfields with marijuana growing in the middle of cornfields. And we jokingly say, in that case, it's corn that's the weed, not the marijuana, right?
That's true. That's funny.
I guess people do that, you know, and they try to, oh, it's just a cornfield in the middle of it. It's just lined with corn. The middle of it is a marijuana. But you know what? It's illegal in a couple of states now. So maybe there's some money somewhere else for you.
Yeah, no, I know. I think I find it quite interesting on how the politics is changing over time. Actually, what's really funny is that we have some of the hemp is what it's called, and the cannabis species is actually growing, is actually a weed, and a lot of people mistake it for marijuana, which it isn't. And so it's actually a common weed in corn systems, too, so we get a lot of those calls. But it's often, as you guys mentioned, often a really good party joke, and we get a lot of good conversations that come out of that.
You know, if you moved to Colorado right now with your specialty, you could probably make a hell of a lot more money than as assistant professor. Just saying.
That's probably true.
All right, let's talk about hay and weeds and all that stuff. Now, I'm a horse husband, and one of the fears that we horse husbands have, especially when our wives are away, is we get this list of things that we're supposed to do. And one of the things we're supposed to do is feed hay. But now, not only are we supposed to feed hay, with our lack of training, we're also supposed to determine whether the hay is moldy, you know, whether there's weeds in there that they shouldn't have, that kind of thing. So what am I supposed to look for?
Well, you know, it's a challenge. And I think, you know, one of the reasons it is such a challenge, and this is where I come off with full disclaimer, is I'm a plant person. So I love plants. I'm into plants, and I understand that. But are you a plant person? No. I'm guessing you're an animal person, right?
No, that's correct. Yes. Who has to feed plants to my animals? Yes.
That's right. And so there's just not a lot of knowledge that's out there. And plants are really unique creatures. You know, they are very different than animals. But I think that, you know, understanding in that hay, understanding just a few simple concepts can really help you understand, like, well, is this hay good? Is it not? And I've kind of come up with a list of three things that you should be kind of looking for.
Okay.
But, you know, first off, I think the key point to realize is horses need decent quality forage hay. but they don't need dairy quality forage, you know, which is pure alfalfa most of the time. So I'm guessing most of your listeners and other people are feeding a mixture of legumes, which we call that could be alfalfa or other clovers with grass. Is that what you're feeding your animals?
Yeah, we actually don't even do the alfalfa mix with ours. I think Jamie does, but we don't do the alfalfa mix with ours only because we have two fat horses that would, you know, yeah.
Yeah, and so I think that the misconception a lot of people get is they need this ultra-high dairy quality hay, and that's not the case. They need decent hay quality. Pure grass, depending on the species of grass, can provide that, and a mixture of clovers or alfalfa and grass can do that very, very well. So here's my top three things that if you are feeding hay that you should be looking for. And you should feel good because you nailed the first one. You should not feed moldy hay to your animals. So that's a real simple step one to do.
You got something right, Glenn.
I did.
Something right, Glenn.
See, yes, I learned something in 25 years.
And I think that's a real simple thing to do because often those diseases that are causing that mold can produce material that can actually make your horses sick. And it's really dependent upon what that is, the plant that the mold's growing on, and the mold itself. Actually, if you ever heard of warfarin or coumarin, which is a blood thinner, that was actually discovered in Wisconsin from people that came to us with moldy hay. My mother is actually taking it right now. So it can actually thin the blood of your horses and cause all kinds of issues. So that's a real simple thing to do. As you're taking that bale of hay out and putting it in a feeder or spreading it on the ground, however you feed it, just be looking for some mold. If you see that mold, it's not a good thing to feed. Now, they can tolerate small amounts of it, but I would say if you're seeing it consistently through hay, that's a sign that you shouldn't be feeding your hay.
Okay,
so that's one. Two, and this kind of gets at the whole concept of forage quality, particularly if you're feeding a lot of grasses, is you should be, as you're feeding that hay, be looking for forage, particularly those grasses, if they're mature. And what do I mean by that? Do they have seed heads present and seeds are kind of coming off in the hay? And so why should you be concerned about feeding mature forage? Well, as forage matures, those grasses, and if you're feeding alfalfa or clover mature, their forage quality goes down, and it goes down dramatically to where it's not really nearly as valuable as it typically would be. So if you're seeing a lot of seed heads on your grasses, that's probably an indication that that quality of that forage is low, and you're going to have to feed something else to your animals to make sure that they're nice and happy. Do you often see seed heads in your forage when you feed it or your hay?
We don't, but I do know what you're talking about. In the past, we've had that problem, and it's basically, and a lot of times that will happen on years when it's extra rainy, and the farmers haven't had a chance to get their hay in till late. When it actually goes to seed, and that's a lot of times when you'll see it is weather related, and the farmers just haven't gotten to it.
Yep, and I think that's just reality of farming and them getting to it too. You know, it's tough to get that stuff out of the field in rainy years sometimes. So sometimes you don't have a lot to say, but if you're there looking at fine hay, and
it's not bad for them. It's not bad for them. It just doesn't have the nutrient value that before it goes to seed.
You got it. Yep, that's absolutely right too. So lower nutrient quality, you might have to supplement with something other with a little bit more protein in it in particular too.
Okay.
But a lot of times that's out of our control. When you're buying that hay, that's the time to be looking for that. So that's number two. And then the third one, which is, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Can I ask a question about that real quick? So I've always wondered this. When I do throw the hay onto the pasture, like with grass pastures, and I throw the hay and I see all the seeds come down, will those seeds germinate in my pasture? Or is it just, are they like toasted because they've already been dried?
No, in many cases, depending on the species, they will actually germinate in your pasture. So that's a really good question and a really good point. So if it's forage species, like, say, red clover or something like that seed that's going down there, that could be a really good. But if it's a weed species, like a foxtail or something you don't want, that's not such a good thing. So I think,
I always thought it was like free grass seeds. Like, here you go, free grass.
Planting it in my pasture.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I think in some cases you can get some benefits. Grass seed is pretty cheap, though, in general, though. If you really want to improve your pasture, it's probably better to buy some grass seed versus relying on the hay, because who knows what that is and what the quality of that seed is. But that's a great question. Great question.
All right. Number three.
Okay. So the third one tends to be quite a bit harder, but really what it comes down to is inspecting that hay for two things: weed species. So again, the definition of a weed is a plant you don't want growing there. So not that forage species that you want. And sometimes that can be really tough to identify, or an insect. And so usually when you see insects in your hay, that's usually a bad sign that there's something going wrong there too.
The other thing, I'm going to add another thing to that, and that's dead animals and snakes. Just throw that in there because I've been down that road before. I hate opening a bale of hay and there's a dead snake in there. It's like, oh!
I've actually experienced that as well for a plant person, and that's actually a great third addition to there.
Yeah.
Now, weeds can be hard to identify, too, and, you know, I think my recommendation is, you know, what weed species are common in your area can vary dramatically. Check with your local county extension agent or your other representative, maybe who you're buying that hay from if you're going to a feed store, to ask what weeds you need to be worried about. A lot of your weeds, and if you guys have pastures, have seen it, actually are pretty desirable forage. Many of the broadleaf weeds like lamb's quarter, common ragweed, many of the horses will eat and have pretty good forage quality. There's just a handful usually in each region that we're really worried about, and those are generally because they're poisonous or toxic plants.
Right. Okay.
And really, you know, the toxic plants, you know, in the upper Midwest are going to be a lot different than Florida than out in the West. You know, you can get online and see a top 10 list of poisonous plants for horse owners, and it's just going to be very regional specific. And so you need to be worry about that a little bit. One warning I will say, though, particularly for urban horse owners, is that many of our landscape plants tend to be very toxic to our horses. So don't be throwing clippings from your yard into your pasture, letting your animals feed on that, unless you're certain that those aren't toxic plants.
You know, you shouldn't be taking clippings from your yard and feeding it to your horse anyway. It's not good for your horse to begin with. But one of the things that, you know, I've opened up hay bales before and seen black leaves and that really jump out at you. Is the color, you know, color things like that, is that something that could be completely harmless and it's just, you know, after it died to turn black? Or is it something I should be, you know, aware of?
Well, so usually what that is that's actually a disease that's turned it black. And it's probably an indication that when they harvested it and put it in that bale of hay, it was wet, it was too wet, and so that's some mold or some other type of a fungus. And some of those funguses can be totally harmless, and some can be toxic at certain levels. And so again, use the rule of thumb of if there's just a little bit of it here and there, I wouldn't worry about it. But if you're seeing, you know, it really common in 10 or 20%, you know, that's probably something you don't want to be feeding to your animals. You should get it checked out.
What's the most common weed that is a problem for horses, that horses will eat and is a problem? Is there one that really stands out?
Well, again, it's pretty regionally specific, but I think foxtails are a really good example. We have several foxtail species. You go to different part of the region of the U.S. and there'll be a different foxtails. But foxtails can be a problem because they have low quality, so they're not really good quality. And one of the other issues that they have low palatability, so the horses don't like to eat it, and so they won't use that whole bale of hay. And then the third issue is if they have seed heads present, they can actually get pricked in the eyes, and we can get an increase in incidence of things like pink eye and things like that too. So that's a real common one that I would be concerned about, just because of those multitude of issues. But really, it's specific to the region. So if you're in Florida versus you're in the Midwest or out west, you know, it's going to be a whole different slew of species you need to watch out for.
We have a problem with oleander, not in the hay, but a lot of people have oleander plants out here. And they're pretty common. And I had heard that one or two leaves could kill a horse. Is that true?
That is absolutely correct. And one of the problems with oleander is the animals like to eat it. Even cows and besides horses will preferentially eat it. And so that's really a concern that that you should be aware of, is some of these ornamental plants. And that's why we just recommend not even feeding on it. Red maple is an example out in the Midwest that we are concerned about. Again, remember with toxic plants, it depends on how much of that toxic compound is in the plant. So things like oleander, 1 to 2 leaves, those are ones we really need to be careful about. We have this tree species called box elder, and there's some other species that they have to eat like, 10 or 20 pounds of it to get sick. And so understanding how much they can tolerate is really, really important.
How about walnut? We've always heard this thing about walnut trees, and is that something?
Black walnut.
Yeah, black walnut, yeah.
Yeah, and black walnut is one that it's one that, to my knowledge, there is some toxicity issues, but quite a bit has to be ingested. And so, typically in those areas, that's where it's most commonly being ingested in two ways. There is a black walnut tree nearby, and the horses are in pasture and ingesting a lot of it. Or the other option is someone's putting down a mulch consisting of the black walnut shells, and then the animals preferentially take up quite a bit of it. So a little bit's okay. A lot of it can really cause some health issues.
Well, my pony sits around waiting for windstorms now, mm-hmm. because the Spanish moss comes off of the live oaks, and he makes a buffet out of the Spanish moss. And last night we had a severe windstorm, and I'm looking at his field. There's not much Spanish moss, which is concerning me because it means he probably ate most of it.
That's right.
I hope it's not bad for him because he eats a lot of it.
Yeah. And I think that's where just a quick internet search, and there's some great websites. If you just type in, toxic plant, poisonous plant, we have a fact sheet for the upper Midwest that you can get a hold of and go into your local one. To my knowledge, I'm pretty confident that that's not toxic and is probably, my guess, really good forage quality for him.
It has little bugs in it, and that's the thing that bothers me. It's like he's eating all these little bugs, but maybe the little bugs jump off before the horse eats it. I don't know, but
yeah, that's true. Usually some of those bugs are pretty smart, and when they when the plant stops growing, they usually are looking for another plant.
Hey, protein, right? Protein.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
So where do you have a website there for the University of Wisconsin that people can find resources, or do you have a website that you would recommend?
Yeah, we have a couple of websites. I think probably the best website in Wisconsin to do is if they just get in their Google or whatever their web browser and search for just Wisconsin Weed Science, they can get to my website pretty easily. And then if they have some concerns, we actually have a group called Team Forage that looks at forage issues and has lots of information on animals, and particularly horses and forage issues. So they can look at that website as well. So those are probably the two options, and any internet browser and search engine should pop them up real easily.
Very good. Well, thank you for joining us today, Dr. Mark Rentz, assistant professor at the University of Wisconsin, the weed scientist. I love that.
Thank you very much.
I would have that really big on my card if I was a weed scientist. Well, thank you, Dr. Rentz.
Take care.
That would be good for parties.
Glenn, I got to give it to you. That was surprisingly interesting. I thought when we were going to talk about weeds, I didn't think it would be that exciting. And I was like hanging on to every word that he said. So,
well, you know what? It is something that we all have to deal with. We all have to be concerned with, because we're all always worried about, oh, what's that? What are they eating? And it's interesting that what he says the definition of a weed is, because some of these weeds, quote unquote, that you see growing around that have the most beautiful flowers. And I'm going, who decided that was a weed and not, a plant to plant in by your house? Who decided that? Who made the rule that that was a weed? Interesting to hear that. I have two things I have to do before we go today. I have two stories for you in the bizarro horse world stories of the week. So these are two for you.
Okay.
All right. So this one, it's sad what happened, but it's the second part of this story. A man riding a horse was hit by a pickup truck Sunday night in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And their driver, now get this. Okay, so the guy's riding along the road. They're riding against traffic, so they're trying to do, they probably didn't have anything reflective on, which was a mistake. So this pickup truck comes up over the hill, and he hits one of the guys and this horses. He pulls over, He's being good about it. He pulls over. He's dialing 911 when a stander by, a spectator, apparently a crowd gathered. So I'm assuming this was not in a rural country. A crowd gathered, and one of the guys from the crowd, a spectator, jumps into the back of the pickup truck. There's a hammer laying there. He grabs the hammer and smashes out the back window of the pickup truck and is threatening the driver of the pickup truck that he's going to beat him with the hammer while he's calling 911 to help the poor guy that's on the ground.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, yeah, the guy was probably feeling pretty bad. He had hit. He stopped. He wasn't a hit and run. I mean, he stops his pickup truck. So now the police are looking for the man that was with the hammer threatening the driver, and they're going to try and charge him with assault with a deadly weapon. And in the meantime, the guy did end up in the hospital. And now the other part of this story is this, and this is sad. The horse had a broken leg, but the police department does not know its current condition on Monday. Okay, it had a broken leg. I could probably tell you the current condition. Yes.
If you hit my horse with your pickup truck, the least of your problems is going to be me hitting your windshield with my hammer.
But it wasn't that guy that was doing it. It was somebody completely different.
Well, somebody has to speak for those who can't speak, you know? I mean, he was being the voice of the horse. And bless his heart, somebody needs to go get him. And I hope they never find him. And I hope
we also don't know if the guy riding down the road was in the middle of the road drunk. We're not sure about that. That wasn't part of the story. It didn't say whether they were.
I am making assumptions. To make this exciting. And my assumption is that this was like, you know, when crime is committed, Batman appears out of nowhere and like has the tools in his tool belt and hurts somebody.
Hammer Man brings justice.
Exactly. This is a modern day superhero and I'm proud of him. And Tulsa is awesome.
He has a black tight outfit with a red hammer across his chest. Hammer Man.
But I know, but why was the driver not cited? Seriously, like he hit. So there may be a little bit more to the story.
There's more to this story.
The driver hit a horse, broke its leg. The guys in the, maybe he just hadn't been cited yet.
Or there's more to the story. Now I got another one for you. And this is also in Tulsa. I don't know what the hell's going on in Tulsa this week. But Tulsa say an intoxicated man. There's so much wrong with this story. Okay. I'm just going to read it because there's so much wrong with it. Tulsa police say an intoxicated man riding a horse with a toddler was arrested Monday evening. Officers got the call about a rider on 56th Street. And they went out there about 8 p.m., almost dark, right? Officers arrived to find Dennis Byers, 38, with bloodshot eyes, slurred speech, and smelled of alcohol. The 3-year-old was taken off the horse, who was riding with the guy. When questioned, police say Byers could not tell the officers where the child's family lived or the child's name. The child's father, get this. Now, this is where it gets even more bizarre. The child's father reportedly told police he was thinking about buying the horse and let the child ride along with the stranger on the road.
This is also Tulsa. This is like Tulsa. You just did a story about, Tulsa. Yeah.
It's Tulsa.
Two stories in Tulsa about people on horses drunk.
Yes.
Or sort of.
Get this.
So
now,
let me get this straight.
Yes.
This man is riding with a 3-year-old on the horse.
Yes.
This man does not even know the family of the 3-year-old.
Correct.
So some drunk guy is like, I'll take your kid for a ride. And the other drunk guy is like, sounds like a good idea. And they're riding in the middle of the road on a Monday night at 8 p.m. in the dark.
Yes. And the toddler at that point was taken into protective custody with the Department of Human Services. Thank God. Because there's just so much wrong.
Now, in the
police report, it states that Byers stated that he had an alcoholic beverage about 4 or 5 p.m. Do you see the picture? I posted his mugshot. Does it look like he's just had one alcoholic beverage?
He's been drinking for a while,
years. Oh, there's your story of the day right there.
You got to post that story. That's crazy.
It is crazy,
crazy. And I thought the first one was crazy. You think it's crazy too, huh?
Yeah.
He thinks it's crazy too.
All right. So promise us, Jamie, that at no time will you ever ride down the middle of the road drunk with your baby in your lap.
And I will not give my baby to some stranger to see him go for a ride.
Drunk down the middle of the road with a baby in your lap. So there's my two stories of the day. Good, well, good way to end the show.
You know what? It begs the question, why was a toddler, were they in a bar? And why was a baby in a bar?
I'm sorry. It's just...
It's awful.
This is radio gold. When I told these two stories side by side this morning, I said, this is perfect. I couldn't have had a better day.
This is where Chad wants to retire.
Does he drink a lot?
I guess he wants to start. This is crazy. He's like, there's lots of farms. It would be a great place. It's near my family. I'm not moving to Tulsa now. A bunch of drunk people riding horses and babies.
Just make sure that the guy in the mugshot there is not your neighbor. Just double check that.
I know. Mr. That guy. Not pack up, honey. We're leaving.
All right. That's enough for one day. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate everybody calling in to play the last Wheel of Trivia. We'll announce the new game next week. We have a recorded show for you tomorrow. We'll be back here Friday morning. We have a celebrity on with us Friday morning, Lisa Marie Kelly from Ice Road Truckers. She's the only girl on the show, so if you watch the show at all, you've seen Lisa. She's also a horse girl, which is why she's joining us, and a friend of the Horse Radio Network. She listens to our shows while she's driving, so we'll be talking to her on Friday morning. Have a terrific day, everybody. Don't forget to download the app. Go to the App Store at iOS or Android and search for Horse Radio Network.
I would like to let you know that I posted a picture on Horses in the Morning Facebook page, and it says, I have found out that Philip Dunn and Roger Federer are the same person. The cat is out of the bag. And I posted pictures of them next to each other. Leslie Wiley from Horse Nation has said, whoa, her head explodes. She is on board. Get on board, people.
They do. When you, I didn't believe you until you posted that picture, and now I believe you.
Yeah, they're the same person. They're the exact same. This guy is amazing. What an amazing guy. We need to get him on the show. I don't know which one they're going to book him as, Roger or Philip, but one of those guys, because it's the same guy, can be on the show.
Well, he's a little busy right now playing tennis in Australia, so we might have to wait till he's done. He hasn't lost yet.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And he's probably in a horse trial this weekend, too.
And way to rub it in, by the way, with Victoria, who's kind enough to join us every week on this show. Right after he beats her man. That was terrific. Way to rub that.
I didn't know. It was this morning. It was at the middle of the night for me. I didn't know. I'm sorry.
See you, everybody.
Bay neuter and gals.